Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Money, the Unauthorized Biography by Felix Martin is a nonfiction book that combines economic history, political analysis, and institutional critique. Rather than treating money as a simple object such as coins, notes, or gold, Martin argues that money is best understood as a system of accounting, credit, and debt that only works because society recognizes and transfers claims. The book traces this idea across a wide historical range, from ancient civilizations and island currencies to modern banking and the financial crisis. Its purpose is not just to explain where money came from, but to challenge the conventional assumptions that underlie modern economic thinking. Martin uses historical examples to show that money has always been tied to power, state authority, and social trust. And he suggests that misunderstanding its nature has contributed to financial instability and inequality. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, money as an accounting system rather than a physical object. A central argument of the book is that money should not be defined primarily as a material thing. Martin insists that coins, notes, precious metals, and digital balances are only surface forms. What matters is the underlying system that records obligations and enables settlement between people. In his view, money exists when a society creates an abstract unit of account and a reliable way to transfer claims from one party to another. This shifts the discussion away from substance and toward institutional design. The point is important because it explains why many different objects and records have served as money in different times and places. It also clarifies why money can remain functional even when it is not backed by a commodity. By stressing accounting, Martin reframes money as a social technology that depends on accepted conventions, not as a natural or self-evident object. That reinterpretation is the foundation for the rest of his historical and political argument. Secondly, a global history that uses unusual examples to challenge economic common sense. Martin presents money through a wide historical survey rather than a narrow theory of modern finance. He ranges across ancient kingdoms, classical political thought, Pacific island currency, and 20th century attempts to abolish money. These examples are not decorative. They are meant to unsettle the assumption that present-day monetary arrangements are inevitable or natural. By showing that societies have used very different forms of exchange and settlement, the book argues that money has changed according to political and cultural conditions. The historical method also helps Martin separate function from appearance. A stone currency, a banknote, and a digital balance may look very different, but they can play related roles if they fit the same social logic. This approach makes the book readable and memorable, while also serving a serious analytical purpose. It encourages readers to see money as historically contingent, shaped by human choices, rather than by economic laws alone. That historical breadth is one reason the book stands out among more technical works on finance. Thirdly, money and power, the political nature of monetary systems. Another major theme is that money is inseparable from political power. Martin argues that monetary systems are never neutral because they define who can issue claims, who must accept them, and whose obligations count in the broader economy. States, bankers, and private actors all compete to shape these rules, and the resulting arrangements affect distribution, stability, and liberty. The book emphasizes tensions between sovereign authority and commercial society, showing that monetary history is also a history of struggles over control. This political lens helps explain why Martin thinks misunderstandings about money have consequences beyond economics. If money is designed badly, it can concentrate power, weaken accountability, and contribute to instability. If designed well, it can support exchange, credit, and broader prosperity. The book therefore treats money as a governing institution, not just a market instrument. That is why Martin connects monetary reform to questions of justice and public purpose, rather than leaving it as a purely technical matter for specialists. Fourthly, why the financial crisis exposed deeper errors in how money is understood, Martin links his reinterpretation of money to the instability of modern finance, especially the Great Recession. He argues that the crisis was not just a failure of regulation or prudence, but also a symptom of deeper conceptual confusion about what money is and how financial systems function. In this account, modern economies rely on layers of credit, bank balance sheets, and transfer mechanisms that many people treat as if they were the same as money itself. Martin believes this confusion makes it harder to diagnose systemic risk and harder to design reforms that actually work. The book therefore uses the crisis as evidence that monetary theory matters in practice. His argument is not that every problem would disappear if people understood money differently, but that bad ideas about money encourage bad institutions and weak policy. This gives the book its urgency. It is not merely historical commentary, but an attempt to explain why modern finance became fragile and why conventional policy debates often miss the underlying structure of the system. Lastly, reforming money for stability, freedom, and fairness. The book does not stop at diagnosis. It also proposes that money can be redesigned to serve broader social goals. Martin suggests that a better understanding of monetary institutions could support both stability and freedom, rather than forcing a choice between them. He is interested in reforms that make the financial system more resilient, reduce destructive debt dynamics, and improve the distribution of wealth. This makes the book unusually normative for an economics text, because it connects monetary design to social justice. At the same time, Martin presents reform as something that requires public engagement, not just expert adjustment. The idea is that citizens, policymakers, and financial institutions all have roles in shaping the rules that govern money. Whether readers agree with his specific proposals or not, the book encourages them to think about monetary reform as a democratic and institutional question. That focus on practical redesign gives the book a distinctive ending and distinguishes it from histories that stop after explaining the past. In conclusion, Money, the Unauthorized Biography is best suited for readers who want a serious but accessible challenge to conventional thinking about finance. It will interest economists, policymakers, investors, students of political economy, and general readers who want to understand why money is more than cash credit or accounting entries. Its practical benefit is that it gives readers a clearer vocabulary for thinking about banking, debt, and financial instability. Its intellectual benefit is broader. It shows how deeply money is tied to state power, social trust, and institutional design. What makes the book stand out in its category is its combination of historical range, conceptual revision, and policy relevance. Many books about money focus either on technical finance or on broad economic history, but Martin tries to do both while advancing a single provocative thesis. Even readers who disagree with his conclusions are likely to come away with a more careful sense of how monetary systems actually work and why misunderstandings about them matter. The result is a distinctive entry in popular economics writing analytical, historically grounded, and focused on the public consequences of ideas about money. If you would like to support Felix Martin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.